has smiled on me.
Yes, Lord.
Page 191, key of G.
Amen.
It's good to be here tonight.
Looking forward to it.
Yes. Looking forward to services. Key of G, gotta smile on me. Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. He is the source of all my joy. He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with his love. Everything that I should need, he sends it down from above. God has smiled on me. I know my God has, oh, he
smiled on me.
He has set me free. I know my
God has,
oh, yes, smiled on me. He's been good to me. A light unto, a light unto my path is he. Without him I would fall. I don't know what he is to you, but to me he's my all in all. Yes, my
God has,
oh, he
smiled on me.
He has set me free. I know my God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. One more time. God has smiled on me. Yes, God has,
oh, he smiled on me.
He has set me free. Yes,
God has
smiled on me. He's been good. So he's been good. So good. Yes, he's been good to me. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. Oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his court with all my praise, and I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made
me glad.
Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh,
He has made me glad.
Oh, yes,
He has
made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad
when they said unto me,
I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter
His courts
with all my praise. And I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. And I will enter, hallelujah, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter His court with all my praise.
And I will say,
this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, He. Oh, yes,
He has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, 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 of the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God for the opportunity to be here tonight.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to sing one more and get out of the way. Let the worshipers arise.
Amen. Amen.
You guys can help me sing that.
Yes.
It's good to be here tonight.
What page?
Page? No page. It's in the back. It's in the back and else. Let the worshipers arise.
Amen.
Father, I see that You were drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on Your side, holding Your hand. So let Your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all, my all, I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of Your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts it comes to heaven. Oh, hear the heavens
bells ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Hallelujah. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be able to come together and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection. People say celebrate. Yes, sir. It was a good thing that he died. It was a good thing that he was buried. And it was a better thing that he resurrected. So to the believer, this is a good time. Yes. You know, that's why they call it Good Friday. Yes. You know, it was good that he died. Yes. But it was better that he rose. Yes. But it wasn't so much that he rose, but he had other things to do. Yes. He had to come to you and me. Yes. He said, if I'll come, I'll go away, I'll come back again. And he did.
Yes, he did.
And he's been here the whole time.
Amen.
Brother Brown said he's only been gone 10 days the whole time. He's been here the rest of the time. So it's good to be able to come here and celebrate this resurrection service. You say, well, you're on the wrong Sunday. It doesn't matter what Sunday. It doesn't matter what weekend. It's just he lives. You know, the song said he lives. He lives. My Christ Jesus lives today. You know, I ain't worried about what he did 2,000 years ago. He paid the price. That was done. But what is he doing today? That makes all the difference. I am so pleased to have you all here. It seems like it all just sort of snowballed into what it is. And I'm glad for it because God knew what he wanted us to do here. And it's good to have you here. We got Brother Allen and a group here from Little Bethlehem. And, of course, the Covey brothers back there, they're always welcome. And, you know, and then we got the Hicks family that are here that come up from Kentucky. And it's good to have Fairborn Community Tabernacle here. Don't leave yourself out. So it's good. But and we have for the speaker of the evening and tomorrow morning, we got Brother Tony Ojurubisa. Hey, I don't like y'all. They're not clapping because of who it is. They're laughing because I pronounced his last name. I know what y'all doing. I know that's what y'all over there clapping about. I got it right. I've been working on it for about 4 or 5 years. But it's good. It's good to have Brother Tony here. And it's funny. I was talking to him today, and I was remarking how the first time, I don't know why he puts up with me, but the first time he ever met me, we went out. He came and he and I went out on my front porch on Main Street and we sat there and we talked like old friends. You think we've known each other all our lives. And we just met, we talked for hours like old natural brothers, and it's been that way ever since. And when Tony comes to town, he wants to come by here. When Tony comes to the country, he calls me and lets me know he's in the country. When Tony's going out of the country to preach somewhere, he'll let me know. And we've had a real friendship, which is it's a beautiful thing. And I appreciate him so much. I'm glad that he told me he was coming this week. So I thought, well, we'll just move Easter. don't care what day it is. We'll just have an Easter service a week early, which opened up Easter for me in the Philippines. So, you know, all these things sort of snowballed together. And so then we're glad to have you all here with us. Now, the plan is first have service tonight. Of course, you're here. And then tomorrow morning at 10, Tony is going to be preaching again for us here. And then after that, we're going to have a Sunday afternoon meal here at the church, so you don't even have to go out and spend your money and buy food. You can just stay here and eat and fellowship. And then we won't have Sunday night service because some of us will be getting ready to go to the Philippines. So Monday morning, I'll be heading out to the Philippines, Lord willing, me and the brother Doug Allen. Amen. And Sister Joy told me just a little bit ago, she said they are excited and ready for us. So you pray for that trip, and we'll see what the Lord has in mind. It's not even something that you can really study up. You just gotta go, you know. You go and see what the Lord has, because He never, you know. I come here on Sundays and I'll have a whole page of things I want to talk about, and I may not get past the first scripture. So it's not about my studies and what I'm going to be able to take to the Philippines. And no, I'm going to see what the Lord will do. So that's coming up. So we're glad to have y'all here. Now, what I want to do first, I got some surprises for you, some good things. The first one, I think I'm going to get our young people up, because they've been practicing and rehearsing, and we don't want them to get tired. Don't want to have to wake them up. So Dwayne and I think Jeremiah and AJ and.
It's good to be back home. It was it's a long week. This is what we live for. We know when we're out there and just doing everything, we're still ambassadors for God.
Amen.
And I know that when we meet people, it touches our hearts when they see, when they treat us right. They're doing Son of Man right. But it's good. There's no place like home. And I just walking in these doors, I was telling Sister Johanna, I was like, it feels like we've been gone for a very long time. But it's only been like 6 days, but I'm so thankful to be back, and I'm thankful for Brother AJ for helping us through this song.
Amen.
I'm just going to read the chorus really quick, because I want y'all to hear these words. This is called My Jesus, and it says, He makes a way when there ain't no way. He rises up from an empty grave.
Yes.
Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong, and His grace is free. And the good news is, I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. So let me pass these words out.
Amen.
We'll get started. We're going to follow Brother AJ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
The point of it is your burden weighing heavy. Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? The shame is done and all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way. Tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that she was going on to every corner. Who can work it off if you're good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. He rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Is, I know that he can do it for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Who would take my cross to Calvary? Pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. Is, I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah.
Thank God for the young people. They give their all. That's good. I like to see that. You got to start somewhere. And when you start by doing it as a young person, you know, that's what God expects us to do, is serve Him in our youth. Serving while we have strength. Serving while we have a zeal and want to do something for him. So that's good. So it's good. We'll get the young people up again tomorrow, too. So that'd be good. Amen. So I've got, I think what I'm going to do, since Brother Hicks has come so far, I think I'm going to let him and his family get up. But I ain't going to tell the story. But before they get up, I want my buddy to come up.
This is answer to prayer. And he's here. And I'm going to let him say whatever he wants. And then his family can get up and fill in the blanks or whatever they want to do. But I told him, I said, now, we've been praying for you for a long time. And I told my church, I said, I won't be satisfied until he's standing in this place testifying for himself. And we're here. I don't know what he's going to say, but I'm just going to stand back. God bless you, Trevor.
Amen. I ain't done this in a long time. I think I look back and I think it's been 4 years since I've been here.
Amen.
And you know,
thank you.
It's hard to say, but it's kind of funny in a way. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for one woman in this church today. You know, I've come a long way by myself, but there's times that I've wanted to give up.
I know.
I've told myself I can't do it, but there's been one man that I know that said I can. And you know, you get up there and you know, everybody, oh, why don't you give up? Why don't you do that? And I'm like, man, you know, you got a purpose. You got to stand there. You know, I was like, if you want to sit there and be like it, I was like, I'm not going to talk to you. I said, we don't need that negativity here. And I was like, if you want to be that way, I was like, you know, I'll pray for you. At the end of the day, it comes down to what you want, what you need, and what you got to have. And if you can't get what you need, it will be provided for you. And I was like, there is one woman in this world, and if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here. You know? I was like, it's come a long way. But if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here. You know, I give my family all my praise, you know? I call my grandma all the time, you know? I was like, Grandma, what are we going to do, you know? You know, I've seen it in my own family. I look at my dad, and it's just, it kills me. Yeah. But I know that when he gets to the other side, he will be better. And I was like, you might not get out, Dad, and you might not want to come with me, but I'll see you one day, and you will get with me. And I was like, you know, I know my sister ain't here, but we've been on a long road for 21 years. And I was like, ooh, if I wasn't here, she'd lose her mind. And I know she would. And I mean, it's been a long road, been a hard road. And I was like, there's some days that you look up and you're like, I don't know what you're trying to say or what who you need me to meet, but I know I'm here for something. I was like, but I was like, you know, I've met hundreds of nurses and doctors and from California, from Minnesota to Texas to Nashville. I mean, when you even look back 5 years ago, you go 43 days before they find out what you have, and you're sitting there questioning, well, why, God, why am I doing this? Why am I going there? And like, you have to look at it at a purpose. You know, you don't sit there and do it as you got to be here. No, you've got to be here. And I was like, you know, if you don't look at it that way, it's going to take you. The devil's going to run and he's going to get you. And I was like, that's just how it is. And I was like, the kids that I've met, the people that I've met, the funerals that I've been to, knowing that could be me, but it ain't yet, you know. And I was like, you have to look at it in a very perspective way, and if you don't, it's going to kill you at the end. And that's just the way I look at it.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Oh, my.
Yeah. You want to try to sing a song? Okay.
I just want to say, you know, I appreciate him saying that. Because you know what? We've been down a long road together.
Oh, yeah, man.
And sometimes I didn't even know if he liked me. We have scrapped and scrapped. But anyway, you know, God has brought us a long way.
Amen.
And we weren't sure we were going to make it this weekend. And he said, Mama, I want to go to Fairborn. We thank y'all for our prayers. We thank you because you know what? That's what got us through.
Amen.
Because, you know, without God... This has been a long road, but God saw us before the foundation of this earth. I'm thankful. Thankful for my husband. I don't give him enough credit. I'm so thankful for everything. I'm glad to be here. And it touched my heart to hear Trevor, you know. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for being here for this word, especially because that's the only thing that's got us through.
Amen.
Is to know that there is a purpose
for
everything, you know. And, you know, sometimes we'd get so down and look at circumstances, you know. And I'd say, God, keep me to look to the spiritual, not look at my circumstances,
Amen.
You know. And, you know, even in his lowest, you know, I really thank God that Trevor is here. It's just thrilled my soul to see him here and, you
Amen.
Know, to know what he's going through and to know that God has brought him every step of the way,
Amen.
Even though, you know, in our natural life, we want to, we get down.
Sure.
We get down in our natural life. But yet, knowing that God is in full control, whatever the circumstances looks like, you know, but I know what has brought me through. I know what's brought him through. And I know what's brought us all through. It's God. That understanding, that revelation
Amen.
That we can cling to, even though we feel like we're falling apart. But yet, that understanding, that revelation, and knowing who we are, where we've come from, and where we're going,
Amen.
And everything else just fades away. This word is the most important thing in our life. And I love him. I love him for giving me that understanding that he didn't have to. But he did, and I'm so grateful to him. He's everything to me. He's everything to me.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Well, I'm glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
It's been a road.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's all been a road. I mean, our ups and our downs, and we all got, God has just done it for us.
Amen.
That's all we can say. God has done it for us because we couldn't do it ourselves at all. And I just appreciate what he has done.
Amen.
And all that. We're going to sing a song and
Amen.
I'm sealed. She wants.
Y'all have, go ahead, Jamie.
I just want to say I'm thankful to be here tonight too, you know. You say everything going on in the world and I'm just so thankful I'm sealed in. I know who I am.
Amen.
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 Y'all help us if you know it. I know I've been sealed till the day of redemption. Someday Jesus will live with the same.
gonna live with the saints in glory someday.
Amen. We do appreciate y'all's prayers. You know, me and Jamie watch live stream every week, and you know, Trevor, he'll, you know, we'll say, come on, watch it. Sometimes he will, but, you know, he waits around to hear. In the beginning, you know, y'all always usually mention him in the prayer. Remember Trevor. And they always think they say, praise God.
Amen. God has heard our prayers. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes.
He has heard our prayers. Thank you.
God still is a healer.
Yes, still is.
When man gives up, God doesn't give up. Sometimes God has to put you in circumstances to make you needy. You know, sometimes we take it for granted. And we think we got everything taken care of, but we need Him. We need Him. Amen. So it's good to have them up. And I said I had some treats for y'all. That's like, well, that's an answer to prayer. Now everybody in this place has been praying for Trevor. And here he is again. So thank God. And continue to pray for him because he continues to need some help from God. Amen. So now I think what I'm going to do is Brother Jerry Allen is sitting here trying to look invisible. But I want him to come and say something and sing something or do something or have somebody do something. Just feel your freedom, brother.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thanks for coming.
It's good to be here, and certainly a treat to see Brother Trevor up here.
Amen.
And I think that says it all. And isn't it a beautiful time to come together during resurrection season? And we put one on over on the devil, didn't we? April Fool's Day to him. That's what I got to say. We just give him a good boot, but it's a fool for him. Amen. So it's good to be here. You know, Jesus wanted his people to be comfortable. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. And then he said, I will come to you. Isn't that wonderful? And then he just keeps on talking, and he tells them, said, I'll not leave you comfortless. And he said, because I live, you live. Amen. I was kind of feeling down here a few days ago, and I was wondering what was going on, and just about as clear as anything, something come to me and said, but they cannot touch your life.
That's right.
And I got to think, I thought, my life? And then a little bit later on that day, he said, the life that's in you. The life that's in you is Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for the resurrection, where would we be?
Amen.
I love the Lord Jesus. It's good to be here. It's good to see everyone.
Amen.
And feeling right at home, and been thinking about Brother Moore. He's got to be going overseas, and we've been praying for him and trusting the Lord for a great testimony when he gets back. I want to hear that.
Yes.
So we love the Lord Jesus, and I love you. Amen.
Okay. I think we'll get the voices up now and let them do an A selection.
All right.
We know what that means. That means just do one.
All right.
You go to some church, just say, we'll have an A and B selection. Come on, why y'all moving like y'all don't know where y'all at?
We won't be shaken is the song we're going to sing.
Amen.
We're going to get some mics moved up here. Step up closer. There's a mic up there that they can hear you.
There you go.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me, and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher. The way seems so unclear. But I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing that we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, 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 oh. My every longing, you've heard my every prayer, you've held me in my weakness, 'cause you were always there. So I'll stand in full surrender, your way and not my own. My mind is set on nothing less than you and you alone. I will not be moved. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, no, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing that we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, 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 oh. Won't be shaken. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, no, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing that we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 no, we, you've heard my every longing. You know my every longing, you know my every prayer. Help me sing that. You know my every longing. You've heard my every prayer. You've held me in my weakness, 'cause you were always there. So I'll stand in full surrender, your way and not my own. My mind is set on nothing less than you and you alone. I will not be moved. Whatever will come my way, through fire or pouring rain, no, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow brings, together we'll rise and sing that we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. No, we won't be shaken. Amen.
Well, it's good to have the Covey brothers here. And I think I'll get Brother Eric, because Mike says he doesn't talk. Don't believe it. I'm telling you, I've been with Mike. Mike can, he's got a lot to say. He's just shy in the house of God. But that don't mean he don't have nothing to say.
Amen.
So, but Brother Eric, on the other hand, he can talk in the church. He can talk out. So I'm going to have him come up. And Mike, if you want to say something, you're more than welcome. But I'm going to turn over to your brother. Oh, okay. Come on, Brother Kobe.
Amen. Amen.
They've got you spoiled. They just give you the mic.
Just right like that. Yes. I like being spoiled. I don't know anybody who don't. You know, I think why I do talk so much, you know, when I get up around people, I'm alone a lot with my brother Mike. And he talks so much. And then I get in front of people and I get a chance. And I'm just like, oh, then I got all kinds of things to say, you know. But when you hear me talk, it's just about like hearing my brother, because I hear a lot of great things from him. You know, when God comes in and changes the environment, everything has to change, because it has to obey the greatest environment that's in the room.
Amen.
You know, I got a phone call the other day, and I used to have this old mechanic guy. He had come work on my cars, and he loved these hot rods. And, you know, Brother Branham used to say, take my gifts away and just let me be with anybody just for a few minutes, and I can tell you whether or not if they're a Christian or not. He said, because just in a few minutes, they'll start talking about the thing they love the most. And this old fella, he's an old drunk, and he just started talking about hot rods. And then 5 minutes later, he's talking about hot rods. And then 5 minutes later, engines and 440s and 454s. And then I just listened to his life story a little bit. And then I started talking to him a little bit. And within 5 or 10 minutes, he knew what I loved.
Amen.
And I tell you, tears would roll down that man's face while he was fixing my carburetor. And come to find out, him and his family, they had a good start in around the Pentecostal movement. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is sanity. This is grace. This is mercy.
Oh, my.
And when you walk over here, there's no more grace. There's no more mercy. And wouldn't you think that if you were in your right mind, and the devil knows it, if you're in your right mind, you're going to come back here. So the devil puts you under a different influence. And so I got a call from his sister the other day. He passed away. And she started telling me, oh, the family's already fighting. You know, everybody's in an uproar. And who's getting this and who's that? And they're mad because she made this certain decision at the hospital, and, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, here his funeral's on Tuesday, and I'm thinking in my head, boy, that poor preacher, you know, is going to preach that funeral. And she goes, you know what, Mr. Covey, the family really wanted me to give you a call and see if you might want to preach this funeral on Tuesday. And I thought, oh, my. And I don't know if all you other preachers or anybody is like this, but every time somebody calls you up or you have an opportunity to speak in front of people, as I'm walking up, I'm saying, Lord, don't let me say something dumb. Lord, don't let me say something stupid. But Lord, let me just open my mouth and let you speak the wisdom that these people need to hear. I don't know what you're thinking, sister, but he does. Yeah. Brother, I don't know what's in your heart, but he does, you know. And I tell you what, my mom, she's prayed a lot for you, but I tell you who she's prayed a whole lot for. She's prayed for your mom, because she's a mom, you know. So but anyway, I thought, one day we're going to be on the other side of Jordan. We're on this side right now, and if the reason we're on this side is God has a plan, and we're in that plan.
Amen.
And I left last week. Brother Jerry came over. We was doing some carpentry work, and we weren't talking about the world and the things of the world.
Right.
We were talking about things that would get us out of the things of the world. I remember I was went out to a baptism one time. I was out at a river, and the preacher was baptizing, and the presence of the Lord came down that river so strong. And there was this wife and this daughter. They had been praying for years. Lord, get a hold of my husband. Lord, get a hold of my dad. Touch him, Lord, just like you've touched us. And while I was standing there, just so happened that dad and that husband was standing there watching this experience take place at the river. And he was in a nice suit. His wife must have dressed him that morning. Nice suit and a beautiful tie. And that man sitting right there, he said, "Don't get out of that water. Preacher, you stay in that water. I'm coming." And just the presence of the Lord, they could pray. Your wife and daughter prayed for years. I sat there and listened to them for years. But what we can pray for years, what God can do like that, just like that. And that's where you want to be, is in that second when you see God move. But I'm going to sing this little song I just pulled out of my Bible. And there's a lot of good things come out of that Bible, you know, a lot of things, little notes from my kids through the years and just little pick-me-ups. But if you listen to these words, it's just a story, and it makes you want, after this song, just walk out these doors and step over that other side of Jordan, because there's life here on this side, but there's eternal life over there.
Yes.
I can't wait to cross that river.
Amen.
Well, I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. Oh, with friends and loved ones we will, oh, ever be. Oh, I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there we'll spend all eternity. Although our names are different, we're all purchased by His true blood. You know, through Jesus Christ, we're one big family. Oh, and at that big homecoming, where God's children will be there, He set that banquet table there for me, and said, "I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. All with friends and loved ones we will, oh, ever be. Oh, I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there we'll spend all eternity." Listen to this last verse. "Well, I saw an old man standing by a casket, all draped in black. You know, for 50 years it's been just, oh, you and me. Oh, and as the preacher spoke these words, 'From dust we shall return,' oh, I heard that old man speaking tenderly. He said, 'Honey, I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. Oh, with friends and loved ones we will, oh, ever be. Oh, I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there we'll spend all eternity." Think about the ones you're going to see over there. "Oh, I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. All with friends and loved ones we will, oh, ever be. Oh, I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. and there we'll spend all eternity. Oh, and there we'll spend all eternity. You know, just one last thing. I remember one time Brother Branham, his wife, she was just so sad because she missed her mother so much that her mother died. And he said, well, honey, you know, if it'd help you any, the more you think about them, the closer they get. And if it'd help you, your mother's sitting right there next to you on the couch. You know, wouldn't it be great to have a prophet's eye sometime? Oh, yeah. God Amen. Bless you.
Amen. I think now we're going to get Brother Tony up. He's back there. I don't know what he's doing back there. Probably talking to God. But I want to sing a song as we get him up. We need to hear from you. Because we could come, we can talk, we can sing, we can say a lot of things. But until the word comes forth and we're hearing from God, we haven't had service. Sometimes we get together and we'll just have Sung Fest. You know, Sung Fest is good. Eating a meal and eating salad is fine. But somewhere along the line, I want the meat of the word. So the song says, we need to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, what would we do? This is what we come here for tonight, to hear from God. Amen. We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear, what would we do? Wanting you more each day, show us your perfect way. There is no we can live. Oh, we need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what would we do? Wanting you more each day. Show us your perfect way. There is no other way that we can live. Come on, Brother Tony. Oh, we need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day. Show us your perfect way. There is no other way. No, there is no other. Oh, there is no other.
can live.
God bless you, Mr. Gordon.
Yes, sir.
Stick that in your pocket. One of them. I don't know. Wherever you want it.
Thanks, sir. Praise the Lord this evening.
Amen.
Let's give our Lord a round of applause tonight. Let's put our hands to God for the Lord. Hallelujah. We are so good. You know, have your seat this evening. God bless you. I enjoyed that song service tonight. And may God bless you all for that wonderful spirit of worship. I want to thank the Lord for his grace upon our lives tonight to come together as his children. In Fairburn, Ohio.
Amen.
I want to thank the pastor, my dear friend, Pastor Nate Moore, and his wife, Sister Clarice, for inviting us over here. May God bless you, sir. Thank you for having me over here.
Amen.
Brother Jeremiah, we missed you. Where's he? God bless my brother. Good to see you back. Welcome back home. You know, back in the South, they said, East, West, North, and South ain't no place like home. I know he's so sure happy to be back home again. And Brother Jay, where's Brother Jay? God bless Brother Jay. Thank my brother. Thanks for giving us a ride yesterday to Dayton, Ohio. Pray for me that God will calm down my nerves. You don't ever get used to preaching the gospel.
Amen.
I heard somebody told me in Florida a few years ago, he said that a preacher said, you know what, I don't even need anointing to preach. I said, I don't want to hear a preacher like that.
No, no.
I need God's grace for my life to be able to speak.
Amen.
Brother Allen, good to see you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, yes, sir. I don't know how I'm going to make it without him.
Amen.
With him, I can do all things. Amen?
Amen.
God bless the group from Kentucky. God bless you tonight.
Amen.
God bless. We love you all. This one, God bless you. Amen. I've been over in your territory before, and I really enjoyed the fellowship with Brother Spivey and the saints over there. Brother Mike Silver just working. God bless Pastor Mike Silver. God bless my brother. So pray for me tonight as we preach this word. I ain't no good preacher. I'm just a 2x4. I told the pastor that this afternoon. I said, Brother Nate, I ain't no preacher. I'm a spare tire. I'm a 2x4. He said, yeah, I'm a builder. I like 2x4s. God bless him. God bless Brother John and Sister Don this evening.
Amen.
We really thank God for this weekend. And I want to wish all of you happy Easter. Now, if I talk too fast for you, please, just say, Brother Tony, please slow down.
Amen.
I ain't no stranger anymore. I'm one of you. I'm home. So you all pray for me tonight. And I told Brother Nate, I said, you know what? I don't know what to do with my accent. I'm dumb, my accent. He said, you ain't dumb. He said, you're smart. I don't know about that. So pray for me this evening that I can calm down a little bit.
Amen.
I've been traveling for the past 1 month. I was in Canada. And I'm not used to cold weather at all. So you all pray for me tonight.
Amen.
I want to wish you happy Easter one more time. A time of celebration for in the world today. And the church world having their annual celebration of Easter. There are some people in the world today, they only go to church twice in a year. They go on Christmas and Easter. We ain't like that, Elena. We found out that the Church Orthodox, this is the time that they end their Lenten season and they celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But traditionally, for the kids, this time means candy and some candy and eggs full of treats from some magical Easter bunny. Nonsense. We don't belong with all that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But and to us believers, Easter means resurrection.
Yes, sir.
It means grace.
Yes,
it means life, Brother Jeremiah.
Right.
It means everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
And the brother said, Jesus Christ did not die for everybody.
Right.
He said he only died for those that he foreknew.
Yes.
Brother John. I want to read that quote from the message, God had the provided way. January 8th, 1956, Brother Brown says, Jesus did not die for everybody.
No.
He said, Jesus never come to the earth and died just in vain.
No. No.
Jesus never taken any chance to come to earth.
No.
He said, Jesus wouldn't have done that. God, that don't run his office business in heaven like that,
no, no.
Loosely.
No.
Jesus came to the earth to die for a purpose. And not just to see there will be if there will be somebody that will believe it, but God, before the foundation of the world, he foresaw the whole thing. You believe it? He said, he foresaw it by foreknowledge. He foreknew it. Hallelujah. Therefore, he knew that there was going to be a church called out without spot or wrinkle. I believe this is your church tonight. Hallelujah. And there had to be preparations made to save that church. So he sent Jesus, not just perhaps somebody might be saved. No, God don't play, gamble. He knows the end from the beginning. I know you're going to be here tonight. Hallelujah, somebody. We're coming. Amen, amen, Lord Jesus, tonight. He said, he sent Jesus, not just to see perhaps somebody will believe, be saved. He knew who was going to be saved. He would, you know, you have a people call out. He said, and you are they.
Amen.
Aren't you happy tonight?
Amen.
He will have a people that will believe in divine healing.
Yes.
Hallelujah, somebody. Yes. That will accept the stripes for their healing. Remember, Christ died for two covenants. Are you open, somebody? It was a double covenant. Okay. I pray that he died for our sins, yeah, and he died for our sicknesses.
Amen.
That's what the Bible said, by his stripes we were healed.
Amen.
Two in one, double atonement. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
I said, and you are they.
Yeah.
God knew it. He knew there would be unbelievers. There was then.
Yeah.
He knew there would be. He foreknew it. So therefore, he could foresee it. That it will happen that way. And if I knew that there will be somebody who will believe it,
yes.
So he sent Jesus for those who will believe it.
Yes.
Are you happy this evening?
Yes.
I'm here, there today, here, there in Fairborn, Ohio,
yes,
gather here in one spot to accept what God foreknew,
yes,
will happen.
Amen.
God made a preparation for those who will believe. He said, and you are part of that preparation.
Amen.
So God foreknew before the world ever was formed,
yes,
that these days will come.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
He knows it.
Amen.
He knows all things.
Amen.
He's omniscient. Hallelujah, somebody. He knows all things, somebody.
Amen.
You know I'm going to be here tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Amen.
He knows.
Yeah.
You know that Pastor Nate's going to Philippines. He knows.
Yeah.
He is God.
God.
If he doesn't know it, he's not God then. But he knows all things.
He knows
the end from the beginning, Brother Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you are the people this evening,
amen,
that has come here to be prayed for, that the preparation was made for.
Yes.
God foreknew it. He said, oh my, that rouses the emotions of our souls.
Yes.
You make us want to cry tonight.
Yeah.
So God knew you are coming.
Yes.
I was in the church in Canada. I said, look, church, God knows all things. He knows. That's why I can write your name in the special section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began.
Right.
With Christ, Jesus' blood. He knew you're coming. So he wrote your name down. Tony, Ajura Besa, Nate Moore, Clarice Moore, Jeremiah, John, Mike Siever. He wrote, Allen, he wrote your name one by one, Brother John.
Amen.
Because he knew you are coming.
Amen.
But Brother said nothing. Absolutely nothing can take your name out of there.
Amen.
Not even your mistake. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen,
amen, somebody. Hallelujah. God bless you. I love each other this evening.
Amen.
Help me, Lord Jesus, tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love you. We're going to read from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 this evening. We're going to rise on our feet. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Just pray for me tonight. I want to just ease myself tonight to this message. Whatever I can go tonight, you'll come back tomorrow morning, Lord willing.
Amen.
I was at Brother Mike Silver's church last Thursday, and we had a great time too.
Amen.
Pastor Nathan, Sister Clarice, and Brother Jay. As I read chapter 9, verse 9 to 10, and let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we come here this evening as much of tired that we are tired, but we come to you for strength this evening, Lord. Like David said, my strength coming from the Lord. Father, we have come to renew strength. Lord, may you speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. I ain't no preacher tonight, Lord. You are the preacher, man. Therefore, I pray that you take me from this pulpit and put your name there, yourself here to speak your word to your people, that at the end your name might be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 to 10. Turn to your neighbor and say, Happy Easter. Somebody. Shake their hands. Shake their hands. Not just how do you do now. Say, God bless you. Happy Easter to you. Jeremiah 9, verse 9 to 10. I'm sorry, Zechariah 9, verse 9 to 10. Thank you. God bless you. It says, Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold thy king. Are you there, brother? Brother Praveen, you have my picture, please? Behold thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass, meaning the baby of an ass. Amen? 10. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, Gentiles. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. But I also turn to Matthew 21 this evening. Matthew 21, verse 1 to 11. Then when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. I want us to notice the location where Jesus was at this time. The Bible said he came to Bethphage, right? That's where he just raised Lazarus from the dead a few days before. Hallelujah. Saying unto them, Go unto the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied. Notice this also, an ass, one, hallelujah, amen. And a conjunction, a colt, making two. Are you with somebody? Amen. Which, hallelujah, lose them, not he, plural, and bring them to me, two donkeys, hallelujah. What's that? What's going to happen there, Brother Jeremiah? There's a mother donkey and a baby donkey there. Amen. A son, a male. That we see why that's not like that. Because the younger one has not been right before. Nobody ever come upon her. And that Jesus wants the one that has not been touched before. He wants a virgin donkey. We're going to come to that in a minute. And bring them unto me. Amen. 3. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord had need of them, not he, them. And straightway he will send them. 4. And all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Amen. Hallelujah. And 6. And these disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. 7. And brought the ass and the colt, right, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strew them in the way. And multitudes that went before and that followed Christ, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when it was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Think about the pandemonium that was called that day in Jerusalem. Saying, Who is this? And Matthew said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. May God bless the dinner of his word. You may have your seat this evening. God bless you. Amen. Now, if you notice in Luke 19:29 and 30, Jesus specified what kind of donkey they are going to bring to him. Luke 19, verse 29 and 30. He said, it's going to be a virgin donkey that never been rode before. And he said, and it came to pass when he was come now to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, in which at your entering, you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat loosed, virgin colt. Loose him and bring him hither. Hallelujah. Well, the question is, was Christ riding two donkeys? No, he only rode one. You know what happened there? The other donkey, the mother donkey, if you know about the culture of Israel, when they were leading Jesus through Olive Mountain, going to Jerusalem, the disciples were pulling the mother donkey, because the other one was a brand new donkey.
Right.
So he was going to follow the mother. Amen. That's faithfully, carrying the Messiah. Amen. Are you with somebody? Are you with somebody? That's the, it's in the Bible. Read the Bible. It's there. Are you with somebody? And then on this note, let me also say something here. An ass in the Bible means either a male or a female donkey. And a colt is a young male donkey, which is less than 4 years old. All right. All right. Okay, on this note, Lord willing, I want to speak to us tonight on the subject of the unusual attraction. Amen. The unusual attraction. Okay. So please pray for me, son of God, this minute that God will come. And I want to talk slowly. I don't want to stutter, Summer. I don't want to stutter. I don't want to talk too fast. May God help me tonight. Amen. Amen. Now, our brother said, God is very unusual, Brother John. In that message called The Great Shining Light, December 22nd, 1957, I said, God is unusual. God does things in an unusual way, and sometimes at an unusual time, because he is very unusual. And those who serve him, you and I, are unusual. They are a peculiar people. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
So tonight, Son of God, our text tonight read about the strange attraction on Mount Olives coming to Jerusalem. And we see here in our text tonight that prophecy was being fulfilled. And those who are the crowd, they also know it too. That's why they will confess that this is the most prophet of Galilee. Right. Amen, somebody. So, listen, I want to read that back to you quickly for a second. Zechariah 9, verse 9, I want to make a point there. So rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, none that was humble, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. What an identification of the Messiah. What an unusual attraction this was, Brother Nate. Amen?
Amen.
So these Jewish crowd here knew their Bible very well, their scroll back then.
Right,
so that they know, they understand the scriptures. That this is Bible being fulfilled here.
Right.
Amen? Because for hundreds of years, before even Zechariah, there had been a prophecy about the Messiah coming to ride on the colt.
Right.
You read in Genesis 49, verse 10 and 11. Genesis 49, verse 10 and 11. You see there, when Jacob was dying in Egypt, and he was blessing his 12 sons, the patriarchs, when it comes to Judah's turn, this, you know, he gave a prophecy there. Turn to Genesis 49, verse 10 to 11. There, Genesis 49, verse 10, there, Jacob, under an inspiration, prophesied about the Messiah there on Judah, because our Lord comes from that tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the garden of the people be. That's the crowd that followed Christ's ministry. Amen? 11. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine. Hallelujah, somebody. So he said he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And that was, his clothes have been soaked in his own blood. Hallelujah. But if you want to have a close study of this attraction here, people of God, these kind of praising the Messiah, Christ, and can say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen? It's so strange because it has never happened in Israel ever before. And our prophet said, whenever God fulfills his word, he always is unusual. And here is prophecy being fulfilled, thereby causing an unusual attraction.
Amen.
At Mount Olives in Jerusalem.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So when God fulfills his word, it always causes an attraction. Throughout the Bible, always does, he said, it causes an attraction. For it is unusual. So unusual, when if you feel his word, to the modern trends of the day, because the modern trends of the day don't believe in it. Amen? So Brother Brown said, they have their own way. They have their own idea. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So we find out that there have been four Calvaries in type. Listen to me now, saint of God. The types on the antitype, there have been four Calvaries. Are you with me, somebody? The first Calvary was before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, in eternal mind. Revelation 13, verse 8. My Bible said, I was talking about the Antichrist. And said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain when? From the foundation of the world. Right. So in God's mind, Christ was already crucified. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second Calvary was in Massa and Meribah in type. The prophet told us, he said that in this of Moses, that's Exodus 17, verse 6 and 7. I'm going to read it here. Exodus 17, 6. It said, behold, God told Moses, he said, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. He said, and Moses did so in the sight of elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah. Hallelujah. And because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And he brought me the statement in the message, the ever-present water from the rock. He said, now, in order to get these people to some water, after they got over there, this dry place in Massa and Meribah was made a Calvary. I'm reading the quote there now. And there God told Moses, he said, take the rod and the elders and go forth, and I will stand on the rock before you. And this rock was Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Moses, with the rod that he had brought judgment upon the nation, the same rod that brought flea in Egypt, same rod that turned River Nile to blood. So Moses, with that rod that he had brought judgment upon the nation of Israel, took the same rod and smote the judgment of God upon the rock. You see, he took the sins of the people onto the rod, which he should have smote the people. But instead of smiting the people, he smote the rock. And the rock, through the work of God, brought salvation, brought water to a perishing people. It brought life to a dying people. And that's what God did by taking his wand of a judgment rod and winding my sins and your sins around this rod when it should have struck us, but it struck Christ.
Amen.
That from him come forth water, which means spirit, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He came from him to give us life. Now, he said, now we have eternal life. He said, now that rock was Christ. Now, the third Calvary in type was, no, the reality of it was in Golgotha, in Calvary, in Jerusalem.
Right.
Hallelujah. Over 2,000 years ago, John 19, verse 18, the Bible said, there they crucify him.
Amen.
There, the most holy place on earth.
Amen.
Those who know who God is through the prophets.
Right.
They, the most holy people that know the law of God,
yeah,
crucify the most capital death that a man can die. Him, the most holy man that ever come on this earth.
Amen.
And there, they crucify him.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. The fourth Calvary was in the door, in this day,
Amen,
a door of every organization.
Amen.
That's what Abraham preached, the message in the indictment.
Right.
And he said, I indict the generation of the crucifixion of Christ, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
I didn't read this quote before we go. Is that okay? But Ron said in darkness, I indict this clergies of today for denying the very one through whom the word of the hour is working through.
Amen.
By calling him all kinds of bad names. Hallelujah. Like Simon the sorcerer. When Ron was what's the name of that place? Portland, Oregon. You remember that maniac, that guy that also disrupts services? Yeah, he goes to every meeting and disrupts services. When Brian arrived there, the guy began to act up from the back of the building, shouting on top of the voice. You, Simon the sorcerer, you are a hypocrite. You, Judas. Calling Brian that kind of name. That's the devil, that guy. And he kept coming towards Brian, charging towards the pulpit. And Brian said, just kept quiet. He didn't say one word. The police were scared. They said, this man gone. We got just one punch at Brian. He's going to kill him. And they were trying to protect Brian. He said, no, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And the guy kept shouting. Yeah, you devil, you Simon sorcerer. And the Reverend said, just turn his head away from my microphone. He said, Satan, today you fall under my feet. Yeah. About that time, the Holy Ghost came and knocked that man on the floor.
Right.
Bah, and screamed, hallelujah.
Amen.
They call all kind of names. Not that man they are killing. Even preachers call Brother Branham all kind of bad names. Even today, they call us message believer bad names. They call say we are Branhamites. Right. I'm not Branham. I'm a Christian. Amen. Brother Branham is not my Christ. Amen. He's my prophet. He's not Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. I used to be somebody. He's my prophet, though. Hallelujah. Right. He also needs a savior. Amen. Said they call him all kind of bad names. Now there. Now there. They. Not the sinner. They, that is the church of that day, they found fault with the man who was the word. Is that right? They found fault with the man who was the word. Now today, they find fault with the word working through the man. Woo! Yeah, that's right. Brian, that's what they're doing. They just vice versa of it. Which is the person, the Holy Spirit is working through. Is God's vindication. How did they know it was Christ? Because his words proved what he was. He said, which one of you can condemn me of sin? If I have done just exactly what the scripture said, I will do. And somebody tell me where I failed. But rather, somebody tell me where I failed somewhere. If I have not shown every sign that I'm the Messiah, that I'm the very one that you promised. So they said, well, we have Moses. We believe Moses. Said, if you will have believed Moses, you will have believed me also. For Moses seen my day and desire to live in this day. Moses seen afar off and the prophets. And here you are living right by it and condemning it. Said, you, Jesus, right? You hypocrites. Said, you can design the face of the skies, but the sign of the time you can't design. Said, but Brother said, there it is, the sign of the time. What did this class him? A fanatic? A crazy man, yeah. They found fault with the man who was the word. And that they are doing the same today also. Amen. Amen. I remember in Nigeria, there are some places I cannot go because they say they are Brahmin. Don't allow them there. They have some form of false doctrine. They are not against us. They are against the word of God revealed in this hour. Right. That's okay, though. Amen. They did the same thing to our master. He said if they call their master, they have Beelzebub. How about the children of the house? Amen. Amen. All right. The unusual attraction of Mount Olives. Now, in Isaiah 53, I want to go through the passion of the Christ, his suffering that was predicted by prophecy before he was ever born. Let's turn to Isaiah 53, 1-11. I want to take your time tonight. I'm going to close very shortly so I can conserve my energy for tomorrow morning, Lord willing. Isaiah 53, verse 1-11, to explain the passion of the Christ, if you don't mind. Is that okay, Pastor Nate? Isaiah 53, if you have a Bible, because there we can... You can go through that. You can understand why Jesus did what he did. Because every action that he put forth was predicted in that chapter. Amen. Are you with me, somebody? Amen. Isaiah 5:3. Right. I love his church. Amen. Yes. Isaiah 5. He said, who, I believe, our report. Amen. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. For he, the Messiah, shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, he had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. 3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow. That's the truth. The Bible says sometimes Christ will go after a long meeting, go and sit down on the rock, hurting for headaches. He'll be hurting, tired, sick in his body. Amen. Yes, ma'am. A man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. For surely, that means absolutely, he has borne our griefs. How many believe that tonight? Amen. He has borne your griefs, your pain, your sorrows. Amen. He took it from you 2,000 years ago, not today, back there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you don't have to carry this burden anymore. Because you're born, excuse me. Thank you. Verse 4 says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him not. We did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our what? Transgressions. He was bruised for our what?
Iniquities.
Double atonement in one. Double covenant. the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There, it was a prophecy, future. Then when Peter was one, got this picture after Pentecost, after the Calvary, said, by his whom strive ye were. Past tense, done. History. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Verse 6. So tonight, if you are sick, you are already healed.
Amen.
If you want salvation today, you are already saved.
Yeah.
You are not saved today, you are saved 2,000 years when you died on the cross 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't need to accept it today. You realize who you are today.
Amen.
Verse 5. But it was only for our transgressions. It was brief for iniquities. This chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Well, Brother Brown said, Christ was beaten with stripes that represent every disease ever known to man. I don't know whether they're cancer, they're TB, even the one that the doctors don't know yet. He was beaten for them. Hallelujah. Praveen. Where's Praveen? Show me the picture where Christ wasn't beaten. The picture of where it was being beaten. Please follow my master and brother to help me with those pictures. And we like sheep have gone astray.
Yeah.
We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Right. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb. So he opened up his mouth. I mean, they insult Christ. There he is. He was beaten up. And every strap on his back represents your sickness or your disease. I mean, and my disease. Amen?
Amen.
He said, while in the palace of Pilate, he did not say one word like a sheep. This was said, this is prophecy, Brother John. Pray people that God don't lie. He was taken from the prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Who was cut off out of the land of the living? He was killed on the cross for your sins and my sins.
Amen.
For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked.
Yeah,
yeah, those two malefactors, those two thieves.
Yeah.
They are there. I have the picture there. One to the right, one to the left. One to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And with the rich in his death. Remember, he was given the grave of a rich man. He has to borrow the wealthy man's grave, sepulcher. That's what he's saying here. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Amen.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Yes.
He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And we are his seed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are the offspring of that sacrifice on the cross.
That's right.
He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Amen.
He shall see of the travail of his soul,
yes,
and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Amen. Somebody, that's you and I.
Yes.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, the two thieves, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
What an attraction, people of God. I want to cut. What? How many minutes I have left, Pastor? How many minutes I have left? Thank you, sir. Well, let me. I won't take your time. Let me read this quote quickly before, as we move on while along. But the Brand said, anytime God reveals His word, there's always an attraction, an unusual attraction.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about the day of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, 1 to 8. When the Bible, if you have a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 6 quickly. Genesis 6. When man began to multiply upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Yeah, preach this message when the preach the flashing red light of sun is coming. Genesis 6 from verse 1 quickly. That's where I won't take your time, just bear with me. And it came to pass when men begin to multiply upon the face of the earth. But Ron said that's one of the signs of his coming. Population explosion.
Right.
Are you with somebody?
Yeah.
I remember when Brother Mike Silver was driving me around two days ago, he said this place used to be woods, a restaurant. He said, now see all kind of restaurant houses. That's the sign of his coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Population explosions from somebody.
Amen.
Amen. That the son of, and daughters were born unto them. Two, that the sons of God, but Ron said, that's the lineage of Seth. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because remember that Cain killed Abel, right? And God gave Adam and Eve another seed in place of Cain, of Abel, which is Seth. Hallelujah. And they are the lineage of God's children. Cain, the serpent seed, is on the other side. Amen? They said that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, the daughters of Cain, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they choose. But Ron said, no marriage mentioned. Just going to those sons of the daughter of Cain. God of their beat like today. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. From that on, Brother John, God cut down the age limit of men to 120. Before then, they were living 900 years. Look at Methuselah. It was just a few years to 1,000 years. But from then on, God said, no more. Because of their sins. And the day of David, God cut it more to 70. I see with somebody. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, no marriage, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God said that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented that the Lord, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. He said, but Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. I like that. Let me stop it to save our time. We know the story already. How that God told Noah to go and build an ark.
Right.
And Noah built that ark, but Ron said he built that ark and put it. In those days, they don't believe him because the material of that ark doesn't look professional. Two, he built this ark not beside the ocean, but on the mountain.
Right.
So it was an unusual attraction on that mountain that
Amen.
Day.
Right.
But that's God's choice to make his work come to pass. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You cannot put God in a basket.
Amen.
Are you
Amen.
With somebody? That's why my Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Don't put your God in a little container somewhere. You cannot do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Noah went out there and began to preach his gospel for 120 years. I can imagine, Brother Allen, that Noah would got up in the morning with the only one message. Say, thus said the Lord, it's going to rain. And go back. Tomorrow is coming back. Because God is unusual, Brother Jeremiah.
Amen.
The following day is coming again. It's going to rain. Thus said the Lord. Yeah, and it became a laughing stock of the people.
Right.
See, that man has lost his mind. But because God is unusual. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
But Apostle said when it was about 100 years that he has been preaching that gospel, little children will go and say, look, this man, are you sick? Grandpa told me he'd been preaching this gospel for the whole past 100 years when I was a young man. And you're still going on with it? You are sick, man. But God is unusual, my dear brothers and sisters. Brother Brown said, what was the attraction just before judgment struck the world and destroyed it by water? An old man, around 120 years old, building a boat when there was no water to float it. Up there for years, standing in the door, building a way on the interior, on the inside, and pitching it inside and out, and say the world is going to be swallowed up with water. The great scientific age. What is it pounding up on the hill up there? Why, it's an old man by the name of Noah, and he's up there, an old fanatic, The old man stood in the sun too long, they said. He's sunstroke. He's out of his mind. And he's building what they call an ark and seeing what else is coming from up there where there's no water. And it's going to float all the people around and everybody that don't hear this message and everybody that won't come into that ark is going to be drowned. Do you ever hear such thing like that? That's people saying that. Say, it was an unusual attraction. Amen. I imagine when people wanted a good laugh, they went up and stood before the ark door and laughed. Why? You said it was going to rain 100 years ago. Grandpa told me he heard you up here saying it was going to rain. And you are still beating around on this old piece of wood up here. Why don't you get next to yourself? But it was God getting ready to confirm a promise and to fulfill a prophecy that his prophet had made. Very unusual. God fulfilling his promise to Noah while others were laughing. God was also getting ready to make history, to show to others, even to this day, that he keeps his word. No matter how unreal it seems and unreasonable it might be, God still keeps his words. Amen, somebody? Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. He was making it an example out of that old man, pounding on that hour for these people here in America tonight, he said, and all over the world, no matter what science says, what they say, this, that, or the other, he still keep his word. Yes, amen, somebody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Unusual attraction.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just talk about another one. One day, there's a runaway prophet in the land of the Midianites called Moses. And was there in the mountain one day. Every day, you know how Moses ran away from Egypt. How many of us have watched the movie called Ten Commandments? Oh, yeah. They be lying, that movie. Yeah. I remember the show in that movie that the Pharaoh, Ramsey, whatever his name was, he was not that gave Moses a rod. Remember? And a bottle of water. No, that's the lie now. And sent out of Egypt. That's not true. That's not the Bible. What happened was that my Bible said Moses one day went to where the Israelites were walking, their site, and found an Egyptian doing something evil to a Jew, and he went to defend his brother, and he killed that Jewish man. I mean the Egyptian man, and hid his body somewhere, and left. So then the following day, he came back into the site. This time he found two Jews fighting, two brothers, Brother Allen. And Moses said, brothers, what's wrong with you guys? You are brothers. Why are you fighting? The Bible said, the one that was gifted said, who are you? Who make you prince over us? Do you want to kill me like you killed that guy yesterday? Moses said, what? Someone told on me. And Moses said, that's why you ran away from Egypt. Not Pharaoh give me a bottle of water and stick. That's a lie of the devil. That's Hollywood idea. That's Rome. And we know how Moses left from there to the desert and came to the land of Midian, Abraje. When he got there, he saw young ladies, about three or four of them, I don't know, I forgot. And he asked them, is there any space in your daddy's house where I can rest for the night? So yeah. Actually, there are some active criminals that are doing something wrong to those girls while they're tending their father's flock. And Moses went to their defense and they beat those criminals up. And those girls went back to tell their daddy, says, daddy, today we have some problem with the thieves, and they tried to kill us. But one man came to our rescue. And the man is outside. The man said, bring him in. Come have dinner with us. And that's why Moses got to that man's house, Zipporah's daddy's house, and became their friend. And he was hired as a sheep herder. And every day, my Bible says to Clarice, every day Moses would take this. Now, the rod that Moses got, he got it from Midian, not from Egypt. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
I always said, don't try to be like somebody else. God will use you the way you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That same rod, that old dangerous thing rod, Brother Jeremiah, was what God used throughout Moses' ministry.
Amen.
And Moses would turn out that flock every day to this mountain. They would graze and eat and everything. And one day, it was different. He was there right there on the mountain, Brother John. And he had some sound. And look, He starts, there are other shepherds there, Brother Jeremiah. But then at a certain look, he saw that there's nobody there. But he saw a fire burning. Are you with somebody? Are you still alive tonight? Say amen, somebody.
Yes.
So he said that, that's strange. I'm going to have a look. And God said that Moses, because when you see that fire burning, you notice that the fire was burning, but the leaves are not being consumed.
That's right.
That means it's not the kind of fire that we have today. It's the kind of fire that needs no oxygen to burn.
Amen.
It's the supernatural fire of God. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
So Moses said, I'll go outside and look at it. And what's this? Yeah. And when there, what's this? And they come there, and the voice spoke from the fire and said, Moses, take off thy shoes, for the ground where thou art is the holy ground.
Amen.
And Moses took his feet off. It was an unusual attraction. It was unusual. Took his shoes off and knelt down. And God spoke and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have heard the cry of the affliction of my people in Egypt. And behold, I have come down, and I'm sending you. And Moses said, but that... I'm a stammerer. God said, I know you're a stammerer, but who made him out? I do.
Right.
I don't care. I will send you where you are.
Amen.
I don't care about your family. I will use it like the. Amen. I'm gonna come. I want to show you before I close it tonight to show you that God saved you for a purpose.
Yes.
You hear me, somebody?
Amen.
Can I find an amen, somebody?
Amen.
I say, God saved for your purpose. You ain't here by accident, Sister Dawn. You are saved for a purpose. But my apostle said, God wants to use you.
That's right. Okay.
I'm coming to that in a minute, very close. And God, you know the story, how God sent Moses out and to Egypt and gave two signs. And you know, became one of the major prophets of in history. And but that's an unusual attraction there. And that man brought Israel out of Egypt, after showing Egypt the power of God. And then a few days after that, we saw them, Israel, in Mount Sinai. Because God told Moses, you're going to go there and bring them over here to worship me on this mountain.
That's right.
Right. Brother Alan, when Moses came to Mount Sinai and went up there to receive the Ten Commandments, and he came there, God said, I want to talk to them myself. Mm-hmm. And the mountain was on fire. Animals running helter-skelter. It was scary. God said, I want to talk to them myself. And there was thunder and lightning on the mountain. And people got scared. People said, Moses, don't let Moses, God talk. You talk, you go talk to him. And you come tell her what to say.
Right.
And Brother Bram said, from then on, that's when God began to send the prophet.
That's right.
Yep. Is that right? That's what Brother Bram said.
Yes,
yes sir. Yes, that's right. Amen. And that was an unusual attraction on the mountain there on Mount Sinai. Okay, I'm kind of winding down now. Are you still with me, somebody?
All right.
So we also found out after that we found a New Testament here. Let me just jump to some scriptures there on Mount Transfiguration. After Christ has come and it was come to the end of his ministry, it was time for God to adopt his son. I probably say it's come to his adoption ministry. You know, I want you to notice that after Christ comes to adoption ministry, but the Bible says his word becomes law and order. Because it's someone changed totally. You say, you have heard in the past that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever look at a man to lust after her, have done it already.
Amen.
He went from law to order. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
And Christ, yes, sir. And that happened in Brother Bram's ministry too.
That's right.
I'm coming to that before we close. And we remember that Jesus one day took Peter, James, and John to the mountain. And after when they got there, Moses, the Bible says, heavens come down there, and they saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus about his death, burial, and resurrection, which we're preaching about tonight. And then, after a while, the cloud disappeared, which I wish I could preach on pillar of fire, because that cloud was a pillar of fire that was still there in the Mount Transfiguration. So anyway, after the cloud was gone, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you don't mind, let's build a tabernacle, one tabernacle for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But Brother said, want to start the denomination. But God, a voice comes from that cloud and said, don't build no tabernacle. This is my beloved son.
Amen.
hear ye him. Hallelujah, somebody. It was unusual. When they left that mountain on their way back to the town, to the city, Jesus warned them, said, look, tell this vision to no man until some man is come out of the dead. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. All right. And the next one, the next time, we remember in Acts chapter 2, after 10 days of his ascension, when the Holy Ghost came down, let's turn the Bible together. Turn to Acts chapter 2, quickly. I'm really closing, don't worry. Acts 2, but God bless you. I love you, church. You're so wonderful people. Acts 2. Can you still understand my accent tonight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. You made me feel better then. Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost. See, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that's what won this assembly, people of God.
Yes.
One place.
Amen.
One accord.
Amen,
amen somebody.
Well,
we are family. Are we family?
Amen.
We are God's children, people of God.
Yes,
there can be no division in the house of God.
That's right.
But the brother said, if the people, if this adapter have been divided, the Holy Ghost will come down.
Right.
God loves unity. That's why he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name,
God,
they have been their means.
Amen.
But Alan, it's not that, yes, if in your home, on yourself, by yourself, God will not bless you. But God loves fellowship.
Yes.
But the brother said, when you bring your own fire, my broom and fire, it becomes a big old burning fire.
Right.
We're going to have a revival in the church.
Amen,
amen somebody?
Amen.
And so suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? That simple fire came down, that was with Moses in the wilderness, came down there. But this day, I wish I could show you the picture. But they did something different today. That pillar of fire came at the ball. Now, the Bible says it divided itself severally.
Right.
And went and rest upon each of them.
Amen.
But the Bible says each of those people will become a part of the pillar of fire.
Amen.
When you see the Holy Ghost, you are a part of the pillar of fire, somebody.
Amen.
Because that pillar of fire is Christ in you.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
And they, okay, verse 4. And they were off. And 3. And there appeared unto them a cloven tongue as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, including the Muslim in Arabia. 6. Now, when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Unusual attraction, somebody.
Yes.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?
That's right.
And being the country, the Parthians, and the Medes, and the Elamites, and Delos of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, even Chinese were there too. Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya, Africans, and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, even Muslims, the terrorists are there also. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, unusual attraction, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? The same that they said when in our text tonight. When Christ came on that donkey, he said, who is this?
Right.
What minute, what is going on?
Right.
It was unusual. Yes, man.
Amen.
Are you still there? Others mocking said, Peter there said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you, and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose. Since it is the third hour of the day, see 9 a.m. in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, it's 9 in the morning there. But this is that, I like that,
amen,
which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass that in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh.
Yeah.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaiden I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and sign in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, anybody, that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen, somebody. What, it was an unusual attraction there on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to drop one more Bible at close tonight. Some years in this country, not long ago, about 60 years ago, in 1993, yes. Something happened there in this country. Brother Bram had a dream about seeing a group of heavenly messengers. Are you with somebody? Yeah. You know, which was talking about this three pillars of ministry. Remember that he has three pillars of ministry? The first is signing his hand, but I'm happy that Brother Mike is here. I wasn't in the meeting. I always say I wasn't in the meeting, but I believe the message. Right. You know, I like what Jesus told Thomas. Right. After Jesus, Thomas said, then when they heard that the Lord has risen from the dead, he said, I ain't gonna believe it. I see my eyes. Like they say today, seeing is believing. No, not all the time.
Right.
And after a while, the one day then they opened John Mark's house, and the Lord just appeared and said, peace. You see, God, my picture there, they say peace. And the first person that he called to was Thomas. He said, Thomas, come here. Come on, dip your hands in my hands and my feet. I ain't no spirit. It's me. It's in me.
Right.
And you know, that man was so dumb. Forgive you. So dumb. And he went there and he put his finger in there, that hole. He's so dumb, brother, Pastor Nate. He put his hand on the feet. If I was there, I would have said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive me. You want to touch it. You want to see it? And the Lord said, Thomas, because thou seest it, thou believest. This is a dude that does not see but believe.
Amen.
I didn't see Brother Abraham, but I believe.
Amen.
That I believe that blessing go to all of us.
Yes.
We see thank God for those who saw him and still stand for this word, brother here and others. I hear somebody.
Amen.
All right. So Brother Abraham had that vision that he saw that it was that somewhere in the ass where someone poking that what do you call that thing? Talkable, yeah, thank you. Oh, out of the pants. Yeah. And he had a blast. Right. He thought it was shot. Hallelujah. And he told the church about it. You're going to read the message, sorry, this is time. Our time. We don't want to waste your time tonight. And he told his wife, I said, honey, Maida, I want to go with Billy Paul. Take care of him. Serve the Lord. I think God is done with me. Maida said, Billy, you don't know that's true. He said, no. So he said, hey, Maida, nobody can survive that blast. It's just too terrible. Right. So it will happen. Eventually, he saw another vision where somebody was encroaching into a property. And the angel, when this something pass, go out west. And that's where Abraham moved from there to Arizona. Well, it was in Arizona. One day, it was in Tucson, Arizona, about 20 miles north of Tucson, Arizona, we brought my other brother, and was hunting Avelina. And this day, he said, left the brothers and went somewhere there on the mountain, trying to drive the javelinas to Brother Superman and the other brothers. All of a sudden, he had a blast. Wah! He thought someone shot him. Yeah, but I can read this script because right there, he said, the seven angels came standing before me.
Right.
Seven angels standing before me there. I've heard people that say that the seven angels did not appear to Abraham. Don't believe that kind of nonsense. If they appear, I can read the quote here. It said, they stood before me.
Right.
Seven angels.
Amen.
And they said this, and they said, go back home to the east. We're going to come back to you one by one. We're going to reveal the revelation of the seven seals.
Amen.
That have been hidden in the Bible all these years, throughout the ages. And Praveen, after Praveen, are you still there, Brother Praveen? Please show my cloud, please. Quick. We need to close, brother. To my cloud, quickly. Oh, no, the cloud, the mystery cloud. There you go. Brother said, when they took off, the angels took off in the air, they formed this cloud. Is that not true, but somebody?
Right.
They formed that cloud, and science was wondering what that was.
Amen.
Even they sent Air Force plane over there to see if there's any plane in the area, but there's no moisture in that height.
Right.
this mystery cloud, the angel turned to that mystery cloud. What was it? Now that mountain, Brother Anderson, what was it? It was an unusual attraction.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He said, what was the attraction on the mountain? He said, it was God fulfilling his word.
Yes,
are you with me, somebody?
Amen.
God is an unusual God, and his people are very unusual as well. I want to thank you tonight for having me here.
Amen.
I want to say Merry Easter to you again. Merry, happy Easter also to you. Like I said, don't forget that, Brother Price said, no, you are saved for a purpose. And nobody can take your place.
Right.
You can't be me. I cannot be you.
That's right.
Right. Let me read the quote and I will pray tonight. You love Lord Jesus. Is that okay?
Amen.
I probably sent the message that why in Phoenix, Arizona. He said, he's the God of variety. He made them different.
Amen.
And don't try to impersonate the next fellow. You do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
And stay with it.
Amen.
Because there's no one in heaven or in earth can take your place.
Amen.
God made you for a purpose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, stay with that.
Amen.
You see that with me? In the message, Ephesians parallel Joshua, May 15, 1960, Brother Brown said, the church is always trying to take somebody else's corner. But don't do that. You can never raise corn in Ephraim's corner, if I'm Manasseh. You've got to take your place in Christ. Positionally take it. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Then in the message of God's servant Job, February 23, 1955, he said, if you could positionally find your place in Christ, then all these other things will just fade away like a shadow.
Amen.
Everyone that cometh to God, that's true, must have the shadows and temptation and fears and so forth. But just don't get all talked up about it.
Amen.
I don't know what you're going through tonight. Don't be feel bad about it. Every child of God goes through that.
Yeah.
In the message broken systems, I probably say, maybe sometime in an intellectual way, maybe you have felt the power of God and you are a servant of God. But when you can really come into God and recognize your place in Him as a son or a daughter of God, that's what brings that great thrill to you.
Amen.
That God intended you to have.
That's right.
Amen, somebody. Well, finally, I'm going to read this and we'll close. In the message of perfect faith, I probably said, if God, when I was an alien from Him, so loved me till He stooped down to get me and pick me up, that gives us confidence that He wants to use me.
Right.
I used to see you there tonight.
Amen.
If God can have someone upon you and pick you from the street and save you,
yeah.
That should make you have confidence that He wants to use you.
Amen.
I told you, God used the same rod that Moses picked from Midianite land to use him to do all the miracles. He didn't give me any new road. It was so strange. I used to ask church people, you know, when Moses was standing before the Pharaoh, and Moses threw down his rod and turned to his serpent and just stayed in the corner like that. And the Pharaoh said, Moses, your God is a cheap magician. I got my guys here. I said, guys, come on, go ahead. And those guys, magicians, throw down the iron rod to Brother Jeremiah, and they turned to serpent also.
Yeah.
We have kind of serpent in the palace. But remember that the Bible said, right there, Moses' rod, the serpent, swallowed all their serpents.
That's right.
They are no, before God, they never had no power, man, people.
No.
It's all their power. So don't fear, people of God. Be settled.
Amen.
Be happy.
Amen.
We don't want what they are going through. God will take care of you. God saved you for a purpose. He has not brought you this far to lose you.
Right.
He has not made you to swim this far to make you drown. That's why I say, I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world.
Amen.
You believe that tonight?
Amen.
That should give you confidence tonight.
Amen.
Say, He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me and in you. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Can somebody say amen tonight?
Amen.
Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions He could have taken besides you, but He took you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Say, no one can take your place. Amen?
Amen.
You are in God's economy.
Amen.
No one can do it.
Amen.
That is His love to you.
That's right.
If you can come, the mission can come tonight. Can you please come tonight? I'm done.
Amen.
I love you tonight.
Amen.
The unusual attraction. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you all. I love you. Now, as we all stand on our feet tonight, I want to challenge your feet. How many of us have needs in your life tonight? You have needs in your life tonight? That's brought your needs in your life tonight? Let me see your hands. Just say, brother, please pray for me. Let's stand up before I call the pastor. You have needs in your life? Say, brother, I need. God knows my heart. He knows all things. He knows your heart. He knows your needs tonight. If you are sick, my God will heal you. You believe that tonight?
Yeah.
Look, people of God, I have stroke twice. Now, you have my testimony. Twice. My leg was twisted. My mouth was twisted. I couldn't say nothing. I couldn't preach like this. But today I play soccer.
Amen.
That's my God. That's your God.
Yeah.
He ain't dead. He's not dead, Brother Allen.
No.
He's alive forevermore.
Amen.
So tonight, I challenge your faith tonight. I don't care what you have. Diabetes, high blood pressure. I don't care. It's cancer. He will heal you.
Amen.
For that's why he died on the cross. I just show you. He is, by his stripes, we will heal somebody. Let's bow his at this time. Can you give me that call? He cared for you. He cared for you. Believe that tonight?
Yes.
Let me see your hands. You need, have you need in your life tonight? God bless you. God bless you. How many of us here tonight need the Holy Ghost baptism in your life? You need God to revive your faith, your zeal. God bless you. God bless you. He loves you. He's saved for a purpose tonight, and he will not lose you. Let's bow our heads. Brother Allen, please come. Come, brother. Please pray for us.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the unusual things because that's where you're at.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I was listening. There was Noah, very unusual. Things that was never seen before.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Made it so unusual, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, when we look at Sunset Mountain,
yes,
the picture
Lord Jesus
that we've seen there.
Hallelujah.
Very unusual, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And some have denied that since then.
Yes.
But Lord, we're there. We're in you.
Glory.
The Lord, you saw the hearts of every person in here.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Maybe there's something unusual.
Yes,
but
Lord.
But God, you know.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And Lord, that's the most important thing because you know.
Yes, Father.
You know how to lift every burden. You know how to heal every sickness.
Glory.
And Lord, as far as you're concerned, it's already done.
Glory.
It's already healed.
Hallelujah.
Already the deliverance there because you saw it before the foundation of the world.
Glory.
You thought it. You talked about it.
Yes,
and now
Lord.
You have proved it, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
The Lord bring the healing with you.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Let everyone in here be touched now.
Amen, Lord.
And Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for touching our little brother, Trevor.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, this is unusual.
Oh, hallelujah.
I was so surprised to see him
hallelujah.
This evening, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Unusual.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
But God, you know what you're doing.
Glory.
We thank you for touching everyone in here.
Thank you, Jesus, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Glory. Let's go, Lord, in honor of applause tonight. Let's give the Lord a hand.
He cared for you. He careth for you.
Let's raise that to something that I can sing. Amen.
He careth for you.
Amen.
Yes, he careth for you. Oh, through sunshine or shadow, he careth for you. Yes, he careth for you. Yes, he careth for you. Sunshine or shadow, he careth for you.
Let's do that one more time.
Yes, he for you. Oh, he careth for you through sunshine or shadows. He careth for you.
Amen. You may be seated just for a minute. We're going to let you go in a minute. But I like that. That message, that's one of my favorite messages. What's the attraction on the mountain? That's a message that I usually like to give someone who is just trying to start out to find out what's going on. Because when you get to that attraction, you can find God.
Right.
He drew Moses with an attraction.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He drew the disciples on the mountain with an attraction.
Yes. Yeah.
He drew an attraction to the whole world when Jesus hung on Calvary. God likes to use mountains. I love that. If you want to find God, find the mountain. Because he's going to be on there. And I was thinking about it while he was preaching. I was thinking, you know what? Even the bride, out of all that he built, she finally come to a mountain. A pyramid. Because you said, well, a pyramid's not a mountain. Oh, but it is. When that city comes down, Brother Branham said, that city's going to settle down here on the earth. It's a pyramid. It's got a base, and it's got sides, and it's a pyramid. But it's a mountain. And this bride has been a pyramid, and yet she's a mountain. And the attraction to the bride right now, where is it? It's in you. When people see you, they see that attraction. When they see, and you're unusual. You're not like the rest of the world. You don't act like the rest of the world. You don't look like the rest of the world. And they don't know what to do with you. Just like they've never known what to do with the mountain. Any mountain that God ever used, man has never understood what to do with it. When they got over there and the children of Israel said, Moses, we're just as good as you are. We can talk to God like you can. And they were talking real big in the valley. But when they got over there to the mountain, and they ran into God himself. They didn't know what to do. They're like, Moses, here, you take this. And the disciples, when they were up there at Mount Transfiguration, they were trying to figure out, God had to come and straighten them out. Man never knows what to do with God when he's on that mountain. And in the hour that we're living in now, we know what to do with this God that's on this mountain. Be yourself. Be your own representation of God, because he is using you to attract people. You're not like everybody else. You are unusual. You're different. You're not like the world. And you can't even get along with them. They're so far gone. You sit and you look at society, you look at the world, and they're so far gone that they're so, and the thing about it, we're the ones that are normal. But to them, we're the ones that aren't normal. But we're the attraction.
Amen.
They're out there with all the world and all the things and all those 200 million demons out there, and it's just taking them over. And we're fighting them with everything that lies within us, because the demons are after us. So we're fighting them, but you know what? We're different than the rest of the world.
Amen.
We're different. So don't worry about it that you're different. Realize that anytime God moved, he was always different.
That's right.
And the attraction now is you.
That's right.
The thing that's drawing people is you. And no one else can do what you can do. So thank God. I thank God for Brother Tony and coming and speaking to us this evening. Now, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And we'll have services at 10. I know other people, you all have your own services, but we appreciate you taking the time to come here this evening. And as much as we're going to miss you all tomorrow morning, we will be forced to have a good time. You will too. But it's good. It's good. You know, it's good to be able to come to the house of the Lord and enjoy being where you're at. And, you know, it's not like going to the dentist's office. This is a good place, and it's good to be able to come. And so Brother Tony will be with us tomorrow morning.
And we'll start services at 10. And then after service, we will have dinner and no Sunday night service. And it's good to see Brother Mike Sievert back there. We were with them on Thursday. God bless you, brother. It's good to have him here. Now, there's, since you all are not going to be here tomorrow, and I think what I would like to do is I want my ministers to pray for me. And we're getting ready to go to the Philippines. And I thought, I want my brothers to pray for me. Because I believe that God's going. I believe God's got it set up. And while I got my minister brothers here, I think it'd be a good thing to do. So Brother Tony, Brother Mike, Brother Covey, come on, Brother Allen. Y'all, come on up. Ministers, come on up.
Amen.
Not that I'm excluding the rest of you, but I really want my ministers with me. Amen. So we want God's blessing on this trip. And so if y'all wouldn't mind, Brother Tony, you come the farthest. Pray, brother. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord Jesus. We're about ready to make a journey. I want you to move in behalf of this trip. Lord, I thank you for making a move. Lord, just let us move everything out of the way. Lord, let us look to you for guidance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just let this trip be anointed by you.
Give him the courage, Lord God, that he needs.
Thank you, Lord.
Take any nervousness out of
us. Lord, let him out of us. Amen. 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 Thank you, brothers. Amen. Well, we'll see you in the morning. The song says, "What a mighty God we serve." Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. It's been a good service. I'm thankful that you all got to come, and it's good to be able to spend some time together. Amen. God bless you all. And until we meet again, may the Lord smile upon you and let his blessings follow your life. Amen. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, what a mighty God I serve. Oh, the angels, all of heaven and earth. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God.